Oh my, we're so excited to have you here with us, and we want to invite you at this time to open up your Bibles to the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 16. Also on the screens, if you can go to Psalms chapter 27 and verse 13, we're going to 1 Samuel chapter 16 in our Bibles. While you're turning, I want to make mention of this. We've got two events coming up for our men. Number one, we've got Power Up coming up. That's the first Monday in May. So it's not tomorrow, but the next Monday. We'll be meeting at Table 100. The event costs $8. I'll be interviewing a Christian businessman and talking about success in business, God's way. Success as a businessman, God's way. And so we want to invite you to come out for that. I think it'll be a blessing to you. And not only that, and like I said, that event is $8 a person. But not only that, we've got our Mighty Men event coming up, which is on, I forget the exact date, sometime in mid-May on a Saturday. And it's going to be a lot of fun. It's a free event. We're going to feed people, and food is provided. It's all free. Just sign up. You can bring as many men as you want, as many people as you want. And we're going to be doing the Mighty Games. You've heard of the Hunger Games. We're going to do the Mighty Games and find out who is the mightiest man at Word of Life Church. And may the odds be forever in your favor. But with that, we want to invite you to come out to that and have a good time with us. I'm going to be teaching there too. And not only that, we're going to have praise and worship, which is going to be a lot of fun. And then after that, food. But the event is free. It only goes about 2 hours or so, and that includes feeding time. So we want to encourage everyone who can come, every man who can come, to not only come, but bring someone. I think we've already got over 250 men signed up for it. And that's without us pushing it. So ladies, I think we may break your mark. We'll see. But be faithful, men, to come out. I think it'll be a blessing to you. Not only will it be fun, but I think it'll impart some things to you as well. On Sunday mornings, we've been talking about walking in the fog, walking in the favor of God. And we said that you can see this word favor, this term favor, all throughout the Bible. And it's something that God longs to give us so that we can be successful in this life. Not just making our lives more convenient, but gracing our lives with so much power that we are able to accomplish His purpose. And we saw in the book of Acts that Stephen was preaching, and he gave two examples of people who had the favor of God come on their life. And we looked at the first example in Joseph and saw what favor did for him. And this morning, I want to look at David and look at what favor did for him, but then take it beyond that and talk about how to increase in favor. There are things that you can do, things that I can do, that can increase the favor of God on our lives. And if you don't know what that will happen or what will happen when the favor of God increases on you, I encourage you to get the past two Sunday morning messages. We talk about it in depth there. But David was an individual who experienced the favor of God, in my opinion, probably more than any other person in the Bible. We're about to read David's kind of entry into God's promotion and entry into God's favor. At this time in David's life, he is just a shepherd boy, nothing significant about him. And even when Samuel came and told Jesse, which was David's father, that there was a king in his household, even David's own father, Jesse, didn't think enough of David to even bring him in from the sheep. But what I love about the story is even though his own father didn't think much of him, apparently, God thought a lot of David. And even though in your life it may look like, hey, I'm out here and it looks like nothing in my life may be working, I'm just a normal person, when God's favor comes upon your life, it doesn't matter what restrictions you have, God can break you through that place and promote you into the place He has for you. So at this time, David is with the sheep. And there's the present king of Israel named Saul. He's experiencing torment. And he's at a place in his life where he's living disobedient to God, not experiencing any of the grace of God. And he's being tormented, and he knows his way out of this torment is to have someone who is anointed in praise and worship come and play for him. And so he asks his servant, who out there can come and play for me? And of all the people in the nation, this servant's mind immediately goes to this shepherd boy, this boy David. Now, once again, this is what happens when the favor of God comes upon your life. It begins to promote you. It begins to lead you into the plan of God. And so notice what happens here in verse 19, 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 19. It says here in verse 19, wherefore Saul sent a messenger unto Jesse and said, send me David thy son, which is with the sheep. And Jesse took a donkey laden with bread and a bottle of wine and a kid and sent them by David his son unto Saul. And David came to Saul and stood before him, and he loved him greatly, and he became his armor bearer. And Saul sent to Jesse, saying, let David, I pray thee, stand before me, for he hath found favor in my sight. And it came to pass, the evil spirit from God was upon Saul, that David took a harp and played with his hand so that Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him. Here you see David is being promoted from the sheep into working directly with the king. Now, I want to reference this just real briefly here. Notice that the favor of God wasn't just promoting David for his convenience. It was promoting David for his purpose. What was David's ultimate purpose? To be the king of Israel. So what better way to train David to be the king than by letting him see a king work? And so God promoted him to this place, all the way from the sheepfold, all the way to the palace. God took him there. God promoted him there. And that's what the favor of God can do. But once you study the life of David, I've been doing that a lot lately, particularly the transition from David to Solomon. When you study David's life, you see that David was not a perfect individual, but David always saw the gracious hand of God upon him. David always saw the favor of God in his life. And it led to promotion after promotion. And if there's any reason why I could think why David, this shepherd boy who no one thought too much of, but God did and God put his favor upon him. The reason why I think David found so much favor in God's eyes is because of scriptures like this and Psalms chapter 27 and verse 13. Child number 6939 is winning. They need your help in the nursery. I would have fainted unless I'd believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Now notice this. This is David talking. And he says, I would have fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Meaning in this life, on this earth. I would have fainted unless I would have believed to see the goodness of God. Notice David was someone who was a favor finder. David was looking for the goodness of God. Even in times where apparently it was tough, David was talking about his mind felt like fainting, his body felt like fainting. But even in those moments of tough times, David was still looking for the goodness of God, looking for the favor of God. And this is point number one that I want to make to you with this, in increasing in favor and being a favor finder. Point number one is frame your world with favor. And what I mean by that is begin looking for the favor of God everywhere and put a demand on that. Have you ever gone to the market for something? And in fact, we have a phrase, I'm in the market for, you know, maybe a Ford Explorer, or I'm in the market for a new house. And where we get that from is when you go into a market or when you go into the grocery store, you're looking for certain items. And if you've ever gone into a grocery store looking for something, especially if it is a new store, you have to navigate through different aisles until you find what you're looking for. And what I want to encourage you to do in your life is be in the market for favor. Keep looking for favor until you find it. Keep expecting to see the favor of God until you find it. You have to put a demand on what God wants to do for you. All throughout the New Testament, you see examples of Jesus just living his life, but then people coming and putting a demand on his power. There are several examples I could use, but I'll use this one because I used it recently, so I don't have to tell the whole story. Think of the woman with the issue of blood. Jesus is just walking down a street going to minister to Jairus' daughter. But she hears of Jesus, and there's a whole bunch of people touching Jesus, but she makes a demand on his ability. She makes a demand on his power. They're touching him, but when she touches him, she's looking to get something. And when she put a demand on that power, her faith met God's power, and her need was met. But friend, here's the deal. Jesus did not initiate that miracle. If that woman did not step out of her house and put a demand on the power of God, Jesus would have walked right by her house with that woman still being in a place of need. And friend, I don't care where you're at right now. Trust me when I say you could use more of the favor of God. And God wants to give it to you, but if you don't put a demand on it, it'll be like the favor's not even there. No, you've got to stir yourself up to start framing your world with favor. Begin to expect to see the goodness of God on the job. Begin to expect to see the goodness of God in your family. Begin to expect to see the goodness of God in your life, working in your children's life. Wake up every day expecting for that day to go right, for it to go good. Yeah, I was listening to one preacher this morning talking about this same subject. And he said, you know, people have something go bad to them. And they say, well, that's just the story of my life. I know you've never said, that's just the story of my life. You go all the way there and it's not there. It's just the story of my life. And I love what he said. He said, if that's the story of your life, you need a new author. Because friend, God wants to show his favor in your life, but you have to expect it. Stir yourself up to see the favor of God in your life. Go to the book of James. Book of James, there's a scripture here I want you to see. And my second point in this is not only frame your world with favor, but my second point is this: open your eyes to the favor that's already in your life. Open your eyes to the favor that's already in your life. Number one, frame your world with favor. Do like David did. I am believing to see the goodness of God in my life. And then secondly, open your eyes to see the goodness that is already in your life. Be a favor finder, not only of what God is going to do, but what God has already done. In the book of James, I told you to turn over there. I'm still in 1 Samuel. James chapter 1 and verse 17. I want to read this scripture to you. And if on the screens, if you can pull up Exodus chapter 12, verse 35 through 36. And your Bibles, James chapter 1 and verse 17. On the screens, Exodus chapter 12, verses 35 through 36. In James chapter 1 and verse 17, notice this scripture. It says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. What this scripture is saying is simply this. If it is good, it is because God gave it to you. If there is something good in your life right now, it is because God put it there. It's not because of your hard work, although I'm sure you've worked real hard. It's not because of lucks or just lucky breaks. It's not just because of a Sims work ethic. No, friend, if it's good in your life right now, it's because God put it there. And what we need to do is to wake up and see the good things that are in our life right now and attribute it to the favor of God. Attribute it to the goodness of God. When something good happens to you, be a favor finder and give God glory for the favor that's in your life at that moment. God's favor can happen and manifest in a lot of ways. Now, when we opened up this series, you know, I was kind of poking fun at saying, you know, God's favor can do more than give you a good parking spot or more than give you a discount at the mall. And I want to emphasize that point over and over again. But friends, at the same time, I don't want to discount that either, because oftentimes when we don't look at the little stuff, it's hard to get over into the big stuff. When something good happens to you, acknowledge that it was the favor of God. Notice the favor of God can show up in a lot of different ways. With the children of Israel, they were getting ready to come out of Egyptian bondage. And in the book of Exodus, notice what happens here in Exodus chapter 12 and verse 35. It said, and the children of Israel did according to the word of Moses, and they borrowed. Let me stop right there. That word borrowed doesn't mean borrowed with the intention of giving back. It means spoiled, took it away. And they borrowed of the Egyptians jewels of silver, jewels of gold, and raiment. And watch this in verse 36. And the Lord gave the people what? Favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they lent unto them such things as they required, and they spoiled the Egyptians. If you read the rest of the story, you realize the children of Israel did not pay the Egyptians back. The children of Israel crossed over the Red Sea, and the Egyptians were swept up by the Red Sea. Now, why did that happen? It happened for a lot of reasons. God was paying the children of Israel back for all of the things that the Egyptians had done to them. But this never would have happened if God didn't put his favor on the children of Israel. When the favor of God came upon the children of Israel, what it did was it inspired the Egyptians to do good to them, to start giving of them whatever the children of Israel asked for, giving them clothes and giving them nice things. That was the favor of God that came upon the children of Israel that allowed that to happen. So when good things happen in your life, notice it as the favor of God. Here of lately, I've heard of some really big testimonies of God's favor. I'll share a couple of them with you. I was listening to a CD someone sent me from Texas, and the preacher was talking about how he just got done preaching in Australia. And while he was there, he was talking about the year of 2012 being one of breakthroughs and believing God for his goodness and his power in your life. And so he asked the people to come down for prayer who were believing God for a breakthrough. And there was a certain businessman who was there who was believing for God to help him get out of debt, to see God's goodness in that arena of life. And the amount of debt that he had was, I think, right over $40,000. I want to say $43,000 or so. And he was believing God that in the year 2012, God would help him get out of that debt. And so he came down, wrote that on a sheet of paper, got in prayer that he would see God's favor help him in that arena of life. And he said the next day he woke up, and he tried to, I think, go to the ATM or something like that to get money out of his account. And the bank notified him that his account had a freeze on it. And he needed to contact the bank manager for more details. And so he contacted the bank manager to find out why in the world this freeze had been put on his account. And the bank manager told him someone last night accidentally deposited $18.2 million into your account. And we know that it's some type of clerical error. We know that this is not your money. And so we need to sort this through. And until we sort this through, we need to put a freeze on your account where you can't take any of that money for your own. And so, you know, that's naturally somewhat a little bit frustrating. You know, you can't access your money, don't have any access to the money that you had in your account. And anyway, the bank, a couple of days went by, the bank finally sorted the clerical error out, put the money in the account of the right person. But the person who had the money, who was the owner of the $18.2 million, contacted the bank and said, I want to find out whose account it got deposited into, because I know you had to put a freeze on that account, and I just want to tell them I'm sorry for the inconvenience. And so the bank gave him the information of that man who was believing to get out of debt. And this man called up this other man and said, I'm so sorry that this happened to you. I know that was incredibly inconvenient for you to have this freeze be put on your account. And he said, I was wondering if there was any way to make it up to you. And the man, he just decided, I'll be bold and just, you know, ask. You know, it's better to ask and be told no than to never ask at all. And he said, you know what? He said, I'm really desiring to get out of debt. And the man asked, well, how much debt do you have? And he said, around $40,000. And the man on the other line said, consider it paid. Sent him a cashier's check the very next day to pay off that debt. Now, friends, some people may call that luck. Some people may call that just someone being good to someone else. You can call it whatever you want. But, friends, my Bible tells me if it's good, it came from God. So who gets the credit for something like that? Not just a generous businessman. Friend, I know very few people, I don't care how much you're worth, who would just cut a $40,000 check to someone they've never met before. No, what was it? God put his favor on that situation, and that man's heart was influenced to do good to that individual. I heard another story of a woman who was believing God to get out of debt herself, and she was a stay-at-home mom. They had a lot of kids to provide for, and she was believing to see God's favor come on her household where her family could come up higher in the area of increase. They had always struggled to make ends meet. And she couldn't do anything outside the job because she had a lot of smaller kids. And to put the kids in daycare, she couldn't find a job that would cover the cost. And so it was cheaper and they'd save more money with her staying at home with the kids. But she was very good with arts and crafts. And one day she was praying, believing God for his favor and for his goodness to show up in her life. And she started making these little barrettes. You know, you can buy kits and all that kind of stuff to make that kind of thing. And she started making these barrettes for her daughters. And she showed them to a particular person who owned a little boutique. And the lady who was the owner of the boutique said, man, these things are great. I'd like to take a couple of them and just sell them in my store. And maybe that can help you make some money. And so they listed the barrettes for about $5 a pop. And so, you know, I think the overhead to make them was like 50 cents, something like that. So you're making a decent profit off of it. She wasn't having to pay the lady anything to keep it in the store. She got all the proceeds back. And on this one particular day, now this is what the favor of God can do. On this one particular day, this lady walks into the store. And she sees these barrettes and just falls in love with them. And she asks the owner of the shop, where she could get more of them. And she gave this lady, this other lady's number, who was the maker of the barrettes. She called up this lady and she said, I'd like to purchase more of the barrettes you made for such and such boutique. And the lady said, okay, well, how many would you like to order? She said, I'm the vice president or something like that for Saks. And I'd like to put these in this lady who's located in California and all the sacks in Southern California and just run a test there to see how well they sell. She said, I'd like 50,000 of them. Now, 50,000 at $5 a pop when you only have 50 cent overhead to make them, that's not a bad deal, friend. But friend, you could chalk that up. Well, maybe it was just a beautiful barrette. Friend, I don't care how beautiful the barrette is. It's one thing to sell 500 of them. It's another to sell 50,000 of them in one day. That's the favor of God. The favor of God can change your life. Now, that's the big stuff, friend. The favor of God can do big stuff. It took Joseph from the prison and put him in the palace. It took David from the sheepfold where no one thought anything of him and put him all the way in contact with the king. And we all want that big stuff to happen in your life and to see those breakthroughs. But, friend, I want to encourage you in this. You'll never see the big stuff take place if you don't open your eyes to all the little stuff that God has done for you right now. We're so mindful of what we see that we forget about what God has done. I want to encourage you to look over your life, examine the little goodness that God has shown you, or even the big goodness that God has shown you, and to every day give thanks for the favor of God. It can be little stuff. Like the other day, I was looking through my Twitter feed, and I saw on there that Robert and Kim Barry, I mentioned him last week, had taken some type of vacation I believe it was Memphis, and they were going to the Memphis Zoo with their little guy, Chase, and he's just a cute kid. But anyway, they were going through there, and they got right up to the gate, and to pay, and someone paid their way to go to the zoo. It wasn't anyone that they knew. It was just someone being good to them. And I saw them tweet that and put, I'm walking in the fog. Friend, acknowledge the favor of God in your life. The other day, I had placed an order from an online store. It was actually the Lego store. I was buying my son some Legos. And with that, I ordered a little $20 set to bless him with. And so it came in the mail. But when it came in the mail, I opened up the box. I noticed that there were two of the same boxes, and I only ordered one of this box of Legos. Now, people would say, that's the favor of God. No, it's not the favor of God. Don't take somebody's stuff. Be honorable. Be honorable. That's the favor of God. No, that's stealing. Amen. So immediately I picked up the phone. And I said, I got to let these people know they made a mistake and I'll ship it back to them. And so I called them up and I called up the customer service person who was over the store. And I said, look, I only ordered one. I got two boxes here. He said, let me check the order for me. I said, sure enough, you only ordered one. I said, well, how would you like for me to get it back to you? He said, you know what? Just keep it. I said, really? Are you in charge there? Are you just... He said, no, I have the authority to do these things. Just keep it. And I said, thank you so much. I got off the phone and said, now that's the favor of God. That's God's favor coming in. Give thanks for even the little things like that. The other day, my wife, she was eating at a restaurant here for breakfast with my little boy, Boston. Well, my girl, she's in K-4, and so she only goes a half a day, so sometimes she'll do a little breakfast date with my son. And they went to a place here that served breakfast, and she only got him one pancake because typically he doesn't eat pancakes too much. But on this particular day, he just was liking some pancakes. And so he's all over it. He eats that one pancake and he's done. And the busboy came by and was cleaning the plates. And he said, man, he sure liked that pancake. And my wife said, oh, he sure did. And anyway, he went off. And a couple of seconds later, he comes back with another plate of pancakes for my boy and said, it's on the house. Friend, even little stuff like that, my wife came home and said, I experienced some of the favor of God. I'm walking in the fog. He may have just been hitting on her now that I think about it. But anyway, we'll take all the favor we can get however it happens. Oh, yeah, we need to talk after certain. I'm playing. But friends, my point is this. even in the little stuff, recognize if it is good, it is from God. Anything good that happens in your life, it's God being good to you. He's being good to you. So acknowledge His goodness and thank Him for the favor He's putting on your life. Friends, I want to close with this. Even in the difficult times, it's so easy to look at all the negative stuff and to focus on what's not right that we forget to focus on all of the good stuff. When David said, "I'm believing to see the goodness of God," it was at a moment in his life where he felt like fainting. And Finn, there may be times in your life where you feel like I'm about to give up. There may be times in your life where it looks like, man, where is God's goodness in this? That you've got to realize that it's never more important for you to look for the goodness of God than it is right then and right there. When you go back and you look at what Joseph went through, it would have been real easy for him to focus on what his brothers did to him, on what Potiphar's wife did to him, on winding up in prison. But we never see him ever make mention of it. He never takes his eyes off the vision. And while those situations were not ideal, God's favor showed up in those situations. You look at David's life, being at the sheepfold while his brothers were at battle, it was not ideal to him. He would have much rather have been there. But he believed to see the goodness of God, and God's favor showed up there. Running from Saul after that, I'm sure David wouldn't have said that this is something I want to do or I'm enjoying, but even there he expected to see the goodness of God, and God was able to promote him. Friend, I want to encourage you. I heard T.D. Jakes say this. He was being interviewed by Oprah, and I recorded the interview where I could watch it. And he was up there preaching like only T.D. can preach. I mean, my prayer after I saw him preaching was, "Lord, just one day, just one service, let me preach like T.D. can preach." But anyway, so he was up there preaching. He was talking about the five loaves and two fish. And he was talking about how when the little boy brought his lunch to Jesus, that it wasn't enough. And everyone there was mindful of that but Jesus. The disciples said, "Hey, we've got a boy here with five loaves and two fish, but what are they among so many? What we have, it's not enough." And you may be in a place like that in your life now, that what you have in your life, it doesn't feel like it's enough. But friends, if all we do is focus on that, we'll never see the breakthroughs God longs to give us. And I love what T.D. said. When Jesus took in his hands what was not enough, he didn't complain over it. He didn't talk bad about it. Instead, he blessed it and gave thanks for it. And he was saying that in your life, you've got to do that too. That if there's some negative things going on in your life, don't sit there and complain over it. Bless it. What does that mean? Speak positive over it. Thank you, Lord, that you're going to turn what's not enough into more than enough. Thank you, Lord, I'm going to see your goodness. Thank you, Lord, that some way, somehow, this thing's going to turn and I'm going to see your favor in this situation. And he said that until you can give thanks in what is not enough, you will never have the blessing of seeing it turn in to more than enough. I rewound that and played it, rewound that and played it, rewound that and played it. Until you give thanks when things are not enough, you will never see the blessing of seeing that thing turn into more than enough. Friend, I want to encourage you, in your life right now, be a favor finder. Begin looking to see the goodness of God, expecting to see the goodness of God in your life. And then after that, start looking at all the goodness you've already experienced. And when God does something for you, or He has done something good for you, acknowledge that, "Father, if it's good, it came from you. Thank you for your favor. Thank you for enabling me to walk in the fog." Every head bowed, every eye closed. Let me pray.